Welcome to episode 1355 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Apostle Paul writes something transformative.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Not just in formal religious settings, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. This expands the third commandment into the entirety of your life. Everything you do becomes an act that either honors or dishonors God's name. Your work becomes worship or irreverence. Conversations, witness or betrayal. Daily choices, expressions of faithfulness or unfaithfulness. What does it mean to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus? It means letting God's name be the measure of your action. It means asking, would I do this if I were doing it explicitly in Jesus' name? Would I make this choice if I were claiming to do it for Christ? This becomes a compass. It helps you navigate decisions with clarity. About to be dishonest? Ask, would I do this in Jesus' name? No, don't do it. About to speak unkindly? Ask, would I say this in Jesus' name? No, don't say it. About to act selfishly? Ask, would I make this choice in Jesus' name? No, make a different choice. But Paul invites more than avoidance. He invites transformation. When you work at your job in Jesus' name, work becomes an act of worship. When you care for your children in Jesus' name, you are raising them for God. When you speak a word of truth in Jesus' name, you are witnessing. Paul applies this to daily life.
Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Marriage becomes a reflection of Christ's love. Work becomes service to Christ. Everything becomes infused with purpose. Your daily life is your ongoing witness to God. You evangelize not only through words, but through how you live. When someone sees you being honest when you could have profited through deception, they see Jesus. When someone sees you forgiving someone who has wronged you, they see Jesus. When someone sees you serving the vulnerable without seeking recognition, they see Jesus. Your daily choices constantly tell a story about God. Either that God is trustworthy, merciful, and good, or God is whatever serves my interests. Paul writes,
do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life.
You become like stars in the sky, like light in darkness, when you live in a way that honors God's name. When your daily life reflects God's character, people cannot help but notice. Living worthy of God's name requires consistency. Not just about how you act in public or when people are watching, but how you act when no one is watching. Paul writes,
whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Paul invites people to observe his life, both public and private, and imitate it. He has confidence his life, observed fully, reflects Christ. Can you say the same? If people observed your life fully, not just what you show in public, but how you act when you think no one is watching, would they see someone living worthy of Jesus' name? How do you treat your spouse when you are tired? How do you speak about others when they are not present? How do you conduct business when no one is checking? How do you respond to small injustices? These private moments matter because they reveal your actual character, not your performed character. And your actual character either honors or dishonors God's name. True integrity is when your public self and your private self are aligned. When you are the same person, whether or not anyone is watching, this is what Paul calls living in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is not a performance. It is your actual way of life. Over time, your steady, faithful choices demonstrate that you actually belong to Jesus, not just in words, but in deeds. The third commandment is ultimately a call to integrity in relationship. It teaches us God's name is not merely something we speak, but something we carry. To belong to God is to bear his name to the world through our words, prayers, and lives. This commandment moves far beyond avoiding careless language. It confronts the deeper danger of hollow faith, of invoking God without reflecting his character. Scripture shows us prayer can become empty when it is detached from justice, repentance, and trust. And religious speech without moral alignment distorts who God appears to be. Jesus embodies the third commandment perfectly. His prayer life reveals a relationship marked by trust rather than control, alignment rather than performance. He exposes hypocrisy not to shame, but to invite wholeness, calling us out of divided living and into coherent faith. Seen this way, the third commandment is not a burden, but a gift. It protects us from anxiety-driven religion, frees us from performance, and restores prayer as a place of honesty and rest. When God's name is born with humility and integrity, faith becomes credible, communities heal, and human flourishing takes root. Tomorrow, the world takes a moment to celebrate love. Setting aside the commercialism of Valentine's Day and problems related to its origins, what do the guidelines that we have explored reveal about God's love? The first three commandments are often heard as prohibitions, but read carefully, they sound much more like a love letter. God telling his people what kind of relationship he desires and what kind of life will actually let us flourish. They are not rules for earning love. They are boundaries that protect love.
You shall have no other gods before me.
This is what God is saying. I want you, not your anxiety. God is saying, do not give your ultimate trust to anything that cannot love you back. In a world full of rival powers, wealth, status, nations, fear, God knows that whatever we treat as ultimate will eventually demand everything and give very little in return. This commandment is not about divine insecurity. It is about relational fidelity. God is saying, I am the only one who can carry the weight of your hope. Other gods, ancient or modern, promise control, safety, or success, but they inevitably enslave. God alone offers freedom grounded in love. As a love letter, this commandment reads,
I don't want you crushed by false saviors. Trust me with your life.
You shall not make for yourself an idol.
This is what God is saying. I refuse to be reduced or controlled. The second commandment deepens the first. God not only wants exclusive devotion, he wants honest relationship. Idols allow us to shrink God into something manageable, predictable, controllable, safe. An image lets us say, I know who you are, and I can handle you. But love cannot survive control. By refusing images, God protects the relationship from distortion. He will not be reduced to our preferences, fears, or expectations. He insists on being known as he truly is, living, free, mysterious, and faithful. As a love letter, this commandment says,
I love you too much to let you settle for a God you can manipulate.
Real love requires trust, not control.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
God is saying, carry my name truthfully. The third commandment moves from devotion and vision to representation. God's name is not just something we speak, it is something we bear. To belong to God is to carry his name into the world, through our prayers, our words, and our lives. This commandment protects us from hollow faith. God does not want his name used as a slogan, a spell, or a shield for injustice. He wants his name carried with integrity, humility, and truth, so that when people encounter us, they encounter a glimpse of who he really is. As a love letter, this commandment whispers,
Let your life tell the truth about me, because the world learns who I am through you.
Taken together, the first three commandments form a relational arc. Give your heart to me alone, commandment 1. Do not distort who I am, commandment 2. Live in a way that reflects me truthfully, commandment 3. This is not law before love. This is love-shaping law. Before God ever gives these commandments, he reminds Israel,
I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt.
The relationship comes first. The commands follow as protection for that relationship. These commandments protect us from misplaced trust, guard us from false images of God, spare us from the exhaustion of religious performance. They invite us into secure attachment with God, a relationship marked by faithfulness, honesty, and trust. When we read them this way, the first three commandments are God saying, I want you free. I want you whole. I want you to know me as I truly am. And I want the world to see my love through your life. That's not control. That's covenant love. Father, teach us to carry your name with reverence and integrity, so that our words, our prayers, and our lives tell the truth about who you are. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,